Let's read from 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter, first verse. The Chronicles, this is the records of the kings. The word is a derivative from filing a chronological order of the acts of the kings. And this is their chronicles here. Reading in the 6th chapter from these recordings. Then said Solomon, the Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. But I have built a house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, Forasmuch as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he has spoken, for I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it have I put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, that he made with the children of Israel. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad, and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and the earth, and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David thy father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be opened upon this house day and night, upon this place, whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplication of thy servant of thy people, Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath he laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do not do and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his ways upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sins of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way, wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be drought in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies beseech them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer, what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hand in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country, for thy great name's sake and thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee as does thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captive into a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of the captivity, whether they have carried them captive, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayers and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore rise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Like, let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, and the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. This was a great time for Israel. When this great sacrifice was made, it was a time of rejoicing, because there had never been before in the history of Israel, or in the history of mankind, a place where God would place his name. There had never been a dwelling place in all of the history of Israel where God said, to build me a house here and I will dwell in it. Always God dwelt in a tent. Well, that is, his presence was found in a tent, and they moved the tent from place to place. There came a time when God said, Solomon, my servant David, your father, desired to build me a house where I could put my name, and there it would be my dwelling place. And that all of the people in the nations would have to come to this place to contact me, or look in the direction of this building to contact me. Said David desired to do this, but having so much blood on his hand, God did not allow him to do it. God allowed David to gather the material that was needed for this great house. And so then David fought many wars, and David went into battle many times, and David was victorious many times, and he took away the wealth of the enemy, the gold and the silver and all the things of splendor, and gathered them together unto the great day when Solomon would come and build this great, wonderful place. Now the great place that he built, this great temple, it was so great that Daniel, even in the time of Daniel, when he was down in Babylon, he would look toward that great cathedral of God and he would offer his prayers three times a day. And all of the others that looked in the direction of that great temple, God would hear them. This great temple was a symbol of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a symbol of that great building, whereas Paul used the terms that you are God's building. It was a great symbol of the building of God, which was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this great temple that was the body of the Lord Jesus had to be torn down. Just as Jesus was crucified and the body was laid away because of the sins of Israel, so was this great building torn down because of the sins of Israel. And this great building was done away with. But just as the body of Christ resurrected from the tomb, so must this great building of Solomon be built again. For as Christ came up from the earth, and as he began to carry out his ministry down through the church ages, all the way down to the end of the church ages, that he might manifest himself once again to Israel with the nail-scarred hands and with the head that had been bruised by the thorns, just as Christ did this, and just inasmuch as he will come as God's building, that Israel might see that they are responsible for the tearing down of God's building, even the crucifying of the body. Just as Jesus must come, so must the house of Solomon be built back. And as it was said, when the apostles got together in the early church, one of them standing up made the statement, said, and this agrees with what the prophet said, for I will return in the latter times of the last days, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David, which of course was Solomon's temple. And then Paul, having the revelation, knowing that the Old Testament was types and shadows, he made the statement. He said, that is, Paul having this revelation, and of course Peter and him understanding it, Paul spoke and said that this was what God was to do, build up a building out of lively stones into a holy priesthood, even a habitation for God. Solomon built the building, and Solomon gave us the tithe. But when Paul the Apostle came along, he had the revelation of what Solomon had done. And therefore he pointed out that God does not dwell in natural buildings made with hands, but God dwells within the human temple. For ye are the temple of God. Ye are the temple of God. You're God's lively stone. Paul said, you're God's building. I am a master builder, he said. And this great blueprint called the Word of God, I am to build this building, and this building shall be built up into Christ, who is the chief cornerstone. I have laid the foundation, Jesus said, which is the apostolic teachings, the 12 apostles whose names were found within the foundation of the city. And upon this foundation, all of the stones from world evangelism shall be laid. Let every man take heed how he build upon this foundation. For the Bible said, the day he shall try his work. And if his works abide, when they're tried as up a fire, then he said, ye shall receive a reward. But if you build hay and stubble upon this foundation, then the day shall come that shall burn your works up. So then, when we see this great, wonderful thing, we know that this temple that Solomon built was to be erected in the last days, all restored in the last days. And it was to come back up as the body of Christ, even the church. It was to come up not as one member, but as many members, that it might be the great, wonderful church, or that great city called New Jerusalem, the one that Abraham spoke of when he said, I seek a city whose builder and maker is God, a city that hath foundations. Now, living in the day that we're living in, and being here at Bethlehem, and I'm speaking directly to you here at Bethlehem now, being here at Bethlehem, you have a great opportunity that many people don't have. The opportunity that you have, all of the people through the world have the same opportunity to this extent, that the gospel is for all people. And the gospel is to all people. And all people have a chance to hear and a chance to repent. Therefore, we at Bethlehem, we have nothing different from what they have to that extent. But we have something different to this extent, that God does something at different times of men's lives in different ages. And when he does it in a specific place. Now, a lot of people would dispute that, and they would find fault with that, because they do not like to acknowledge that there's any certain people in the earth that is more advanced than other people. But still it's true that there really is people in the earth that's more advanced than other people when it comes to the gospel. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that you and I, individually speaking, we differ in grace in the sense of the measure of our faith. And some people have a greater measure than other people. And some people have grown greater and stronger in the knowledge of God than other people. Paul, for one, had outgrown many of the disciples and was standing head and shoulder above all of the disciples so far as the revelation of Jesus Christ. The reason is because the apostles was put there as the foundation. But Paul was put there to be caught up into the third heaven as the capstone, saying, it's not me that liveth, but it's Christ Jesus. And the life I live with the Son of God. I'm His bone and flesh. Now, so we see there is a difference in what God does. He does things the way that He wants to do them. It is Paul that stood up and said, I'm the capstone. Or that is, he said it in this measure, that I am the beginning and this is Jesus. And all through the church ages, I have the oversight of the Gentile church. And the thing that's going to rapture you is my teachings. Behold, a mystery, you shall not all sleep but be changed. Therefore, my authority extends from the beginning over unto the coming of Jesus. For I am Paul to you, but when you see me standing in the midst of the candlesticks at the end of the church ages, I am Jesus. For it is not Paul that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth within me. And even as Paul was Christ, so are you Christ, for you are one with the Lord. So the supremacy of it was that it was the revelation of Jesus Christ and not the individual Paul. It was Christ, the quickening spirit, the invisible one, that was residing in the body of Paul and living in the life of Paul. And even so, it's the same today. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which is Christ Himself. Now, the question was asked in the book of Solomon, shall God dwell among men? Shall God have His dwelling with man? Is it true that God will actually come down here and live among men? It is true. Therefore, He has come down to earth, and God at last is among men. And God at last is living among men, and God at last is dwelling among men. So then, this is the wonderful thing that Solomon saw in his wisdom. And having built that building, Being a type of God's building, God brought His glory into that building. But ye are God's building. Ye are the temples of God. Ye are the very bone and flesh of the body of God Himself. And God Himself is among men. And the kingdom of God has come into the earth at last. And since John, that kingdom filling the earth, men pressing their way into the kingdom or to be translated into the kingdom of God, that is, they have been translated into the kingdom since that time. The prayer, therefore, has been, Father, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For Jesus was very God. And Jesus came down to the earth saying, I am very God. I am the light. I am the light. I am the light of the world. I am God dwelling among men. And then when He went away, He said, Now ye are gods. Ye are the light of the world. And now ye are God dwelling among men. You know, we like to think of ourselves as men. But there is a difference, beloved friend, between you and men. You are not men. You are gods. Ye people are gods. Those that are without the camp, they are men. But those that are sons and daughters of God could be nothing less than a god. I say that so often Jesus confirmed it by saying, you're gods. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, did He not care the same for them that are without as them that are within? He certainly did not. Did He not make an effort to them that are without just as He did them that are within? Or did He pray for them that are without as He did them that are within? Jesus said, Father, I pray not for the world nor them out there. I pray for these that You have given Me. So then, it is a difference. Does God feel the same toward them that are without as them that are within? Absolutely not. The Bible said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. I'll pursue them till they perish from off the face of the earth. He said, their offerings are abomination in My sight. Their prayers are abomination in My sight. I'm angry with the wicked every day. Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. So then, what does He say to you and I? He speaks to you and me after this fashion. Can anybody lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I have perfected forever them that are sanctified. They are without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. They are blessed of God, and all things are theirs. And I'll make them rich and add no sorrow. I'll make them to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed them with the heritage of Jacob. I'll make all of their beds in the time of the sickness. The Bible said, and they shall be like a tree that's planted by the water. They shall bring forth their fruit in their season. And the leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever they do shall prosper. Therefore is His thinking different to us as to what it is to them that are without? God's blood of atonement right now is on the mercy seat. Therefore it is true that those that are without can find revival and they can find healing because God has had to do that for your sakes that He might give mercy to all till He could get His children out from among those that He's going to destroy. And had to give grace to give you time to develop, to keep from hurting or harming you. But friend, just as quick as Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said the fire came down. Which means God's mercy is not to them people. God's mercy is to you. And the only way that Lucifer got in is through the sons of Satan and those that have the love of the world in them. That's how the devil got into the second heaven, which is the rim of grace. Because God had to give grace to them people out there to be able to take care of you until you could develop. How do you understand what I'm saying? So you see what a great, wonderful God He is, how precious He is, and how loving and sweet He is. And see, we're not to frustrate the grace of God. And we're not to get mixed up with that crowd that's out there that's coming out of seminary calling themselves preachers. And them people that are religious out there and all of this thing that is charismatic and Catholic and denominationalism, we're not to get mixed up with all of that thing. All of that is a fraud. And we're not to get mixed up with it. They're saying God's grace is with us. God is for us. Why, look what we got by with. And look how God looked upon us. And He hasn't destroyed us. But see, the Bible said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are. But wait, someday I'll meet you face to face. And then it'll be different. Now, He said, I have taken the hypocrite by surprise. So then what we've got to remember is that we are a separate people, and we've got to come out from among them and be a separate people. And the Bible said, "Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you," saith the Lord. Therefore, we are God's people, and we are working for God, and God loves us, and God is for us, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, and those that are the called according to His purpose. So we see the beauty of what God has done. Now, He's done all things for us, and the Bible said all things are yours, and you belong to Christ Jesus. You're complete in the Lord. You're His workmanship in Jesus Christ. By predestination and foreknowledge, He made you perfect before you was ever born into the world. Now, them that He called from the foundation of the world, them that He called or them that He chose, them that in His foreknowledge He foreknew, the Bible said them that He called, He's also chosen and predestinated and justified and glorified, the Bible tells us. So then He's perfected forever them that are sanctified. Therefore, you're without spot, you're without wrinkle, you're without blemish. No one can lay anything to your charge, because it is God that justifies you. There's no way that you can sin, for he that is born of God is a God, and he cannot sin. And the Bible teaches there's no power, not even Lucifer, that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said, things present, things to come, whatever it might be, you're God's predestinated masterpiece. Now, only those that walk according to godliness can claim that. The Bible said, make your calling and election sure by doing these things. If you do these holy things, these godly things that he enumerated, such as the fruits of the Spirit, he said, if you do these, this is proof that you've got the nature of Christ. And said, if you've got the nature of Christ, it is impossible for you to sin or fall away. For you're predestinated within the nature, or in him. And if you don't walk in him and according to his way of life, then you're not the predestinated in God, but rather the beast, and some of them brute beasts, foreordained of old to be under the condemnation to be burned. See, taken and be burned. Now, but if you walk in Christ Jesus, holy and godly and pure, that means you have the nature of Jesus. And that means that you can't do anything else, for the love of God constrains you. You just automatically do that. You wake up with that on your mind. You go to sleep with that on your mind. You think of that day by day. You're not filled with the lasciviousness of the world and the hunger of the world, for if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. See, you're altogether different. Now, isn't it wonderful to know that? You hunger and thirst to be with the brothers and sisters. Like Brother Vince, who's with us tonight from Olden, Virginia. He was telling me yesterday, I believe it was, he said that, you know, from the way he talked, he really had a desire to come back with the brothers. And he said he just wanted to stay here. So this time, Brother Pike, I just feel like I've come back to stay. You know, we were also talking about the planets lining up. If you notice, it's just within about 7 or 8 days, maybe 7 days now, I think, that the planets start their alignment. And then from that, about middle of the year, they tell me that they line up a little more, and then toward the fall of this year that they get perfectly in line. See, all of this denotes that something is taking place. Now, let me just talk to you just a minute or two about a few little things that's happened as of late. The other day, some of you remember Brother Parnell coming down. All right, when Brother Parnell came down, or that is when he came over, he come in from the islands, he and a number of other people with him. When he came over, he stopped there at the house and was talking to me. He said, Brother Pike, said, I had a vision, and I want to tell it to you. I said, all right. So Brother Parnell proceeded to tell me the vision, and he said, out in the front of this church, I looked, and I saw a tree, a pink-like tree, I believe he said. He said, and it was a tree that caused us all to get excited, and we all made a fuss, a tremendous fuss over this tree. And said, this tree that I saw in the vision, said it was out in front of little Bethlehem. And said, while we were near this tree, it appeared that we all was working for you, Brother Pike. He said, and you come around to ask some questions to try to fill out the heart of the people and see who would tell you the truth. And said, you asked some questions, and said, when you did, said, I answered you. And said, I told you the truth, and you were satisfied that I had told you the truth. He said, and then we were all excited. And I was saying, see that tree, see that tree. So that tree's been there all the time and we just haven't noticed it. So then with that, Brother JT left off about the tree. And I knew what the tree had to do with, but I didn't say anything to him. I just waited. A little later on, Brother JT, the girls that was with him and the boys, JT Jr., here we all came up to the church, and they wanted to see the church. And they were just carried away and fascinated with the beauty of the church. And while I was standing back there about where Jerry is, Brother J.T. Parnell came up here and stood behind the sacred desk. While he was standing there and the rest of us standing over where Jerry is, all of a sudden J.T. began to talk about Solomon, the very one that we read about tonight. He began to talk about Solomon, and he had turned to the scripture concerning the Queen of Sheba that had come to hear the wisdom of Solomon, who said the half has never yet been told, came from a long ways to offer all kind of gifts to Solomon. We had just been talking about Brother Sheba from over in India there at the house. So then with this, JT got real excited, and he began to tell us from here as we listened back there. And while we was listening, the Lord was moving. I was watching what the Lord was doing, and the Lord was moving. I had on a belt buckle when Brother JT had come up. It was a rainbow, a buckle with a rainbow on it that had to do with something spiritual that seemed to relate back to Revelation 10. When JT come up, the Lord spoke to me and said, give him the belt buckle. Just like the Lord spoke to me about giving Brother Harding a belt buckle just before he left, one with a dove on it. The Lord said, give him the belt buckle. Well, when the Lord said that to me, I thought, well, that don't register right, Lord. I know that's your voice. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. I said, I know that's your voice, but that don't register right. God, I don't understand this. I'll do whatever you say do, but I'll just have to wait till you make me to know what's going on here. Because though you tell me to do that, there's something that constrains me from doing it. And I'll have to wait and see what you're saying. So I did, I waited. And then when we got up here in the sanctuary, all of a sudden JT's son looked down at the belt buckle. He hadn't noticed it before, but he began to make a fuss over it. So that's the prettiest belt buckle I ever seen, I believe is the way he said it. A number of them have said that, or some of them. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, give him the belt buckle. Said, this is what I told you. Give it to JT. And then it dawned on me, JT Jr. The thing that helped me back from giving it to Brother JT was that it wasn't supposed to go to Brother JT Parnell, the elder. It was supposed to go to JT Jr. And so then I understood what the Lord was saying, and the revelation was just exactly perfect. I pulled the buckle off and I gave it to JT Jr. Now, right at that moment, that had to do with Revelation 10, because right at that moment, the revelation was moving, and there was JT Jr. having to do with the child being caught up to the throne, whereas JT's whole heart, JT Jr.'s whole heart, went out to little Bethlehem all of a sudden. These candlesticks here having to do with the throne, JT having been up here just prior to that. While I was standing there, all of a sudden, something come to me and I was telling them about the visions that I'd had concerning Brother Branham. How that just before I went to Florida, the Lord come to me and spoke to me about Brother Branham. I was in this vision and I went over to where Brother Branham was, and he was talking to somebody in the vision and highly displeased with them. And then as they moved on, I moved around in front of Brother Branham. And when I came around in front of Brother Branham, he looked at me and he began to talk with me. And all of a sudden, as we began to exchange conversation, a mighty surge of the power of God came sweeping down on me in such a tremendous way it shook my body like that. And when it hit, it was the most unusual thing I've ever had to happen to me in the sense of the inspiration of God. Now, when I looked at Brother Branham, I said, Brother Branham, I said, that happened to me before you ever touched me or laid hands on me, because I was expecting him to lay hands on me. and answer my questions. But he looked back at me and he said, no. He said, it was when I touched you that you received that charge. Even though in the vision he never touched me. But nevertheless, when I came out of the vision, I come out of the vision and then something began to ring in my ears. Where Paul said, Timothy, I charge thee. Or, brethren, I charge thee. And Brother Branham said, I give you a charge. Or you receive that charge. See, an electrical charge, it was certainly that, the quickening. But then it stuck in my mind, I give you a charge. And then it began to relate back to the vision that I had when I was down in Honduras. And all of these things was fitting together. Remember how that Brother Conrad had been down yonder with us on the boat, and all of a sudden he had went down to Houston, Texas, and out where George Jr. is in California, having to do the redemption of the body, going back to New Iberia, the purchased possession. Here he had been down there with us when we crossed over the deep, bringing the boat in, going past this bridge that had to do with the cross. And you remember the things that happened to the boat. All of these things begin to come back. That about the rainbow. And that out on this boat, that over in the morning, way over in the morning. It was over in the morning about 3 or 4 o'clock. Everybody was asleep. I had on that transparent rain suit. It was drizzling rain. Had on my boots. And I eased up. And I come out of the room downstairs, come up on board of the ship. And I went out to the back because they had put these two bandits on back of the boat. And you remember what I said that the Lord spoke to me about. When they was going to put these bandits on the back of the boat, I said, no, we ain't going to have that. That don't even sound good. But the Lord said to me, two thieves, one on either side. So sure enough, I put the bandits out there. We had the bandits, and sure enough, to carry out the thieving part, you know, in this world, if you manipulate just right, they call you a shark. And sure enough, we caught a shark on each one of them. Now, two men were manning those bandits. David Paul on the left, if he was looking back, you know, watching the boat, the back part of the boat, looking toward it. Brother Conrad was on the right over here, and David Paul was on the left. These were the two men that was manning those bandits. Right, in the morning, there I sat down on the boat, on the back of it, in the rain, in this transparent, with the hood over, everything just so foggy you couldn't see nowhere, and we'd cast anchor. And I looked up, and the heavens was just completely solid, just like they were welded over. And while I was sitting there, all of a sudden, right in the middle of that, like in the sky, there came a light, and all of this moved away, and it was just like somebody, a figure coming right in that light in the midst of all of this. It reminded me of the coming of Jesus. And I sat there in the morning. And while I was sitting there, the Lord spoke to me. And He took me off into a trance or a vision. And that wasn't the vision. And in this vision, I was told that I had taken Brother William Branham's place in this vision. Now, again, this went back to what the voice said to me when I was down in San Pedro Sula, Honduras. The same thing occurred. We got caught in the great cloud and got caught in the great mist. And we was atop aloft one of the great mountains. And it was at that time during the night that the Lord spoke to me and said, somebody has passed off of the scene and said, I want you to take their place. And said, it will take 25 years to understand what you understand. I believe is the way the voice said it. Now, the voice said, according to what I understood, that God had looked throughout the land and had not found the one that He was looking for. Now, when I come off of the boat, here I went over to the Rainbow Motel after this cross experience. And when I got to the Rainbow Motel, this is when I went into the vision. I went into my room, and it was in the day, and I went into the vision, and when I went into the vision, here I was walking along, and somebody was with me, and I wasn't aware who it was. And as I began to walk along, all of a sudden it was like they went right into me. And I forget how the vision goes, but I think they got it on tape here. But anyway, all of a sudden, this great strength come over me. And I suddenly became so powerful that I had control of all heaven and earth. And whatever I said, it didn't make no difference in heaven or earth. Whatever I said, it immediately happened. I had this power. It was so terrifying. Now, you know, when people think about having that kind of power, they think, oh, glory. What? That would be so wonderful. But it wasn't that way at all. It was so terrifying that it just literally tore me to pieces to think that I had to be careful what I spoke, because I could just speak things out of existence like that. Well, strangely enough, when we went down to Florida and came back, when we got up in the plane, there we was in the plane, we got caught in that same mist. There we was in those heavy clouds again. And then all of a sudden, God spoke to me again. And when God spoke to me again, this is what I said. I said, brethren, one time there was a man by the name of William Branham. I said, it got caught in the clouds. I said, and they couldn't land the plane. I said, and he prayed till God made a hole in it. And I said, at this serious moment, when we're on the verge of losing our lives and whatever, I said, I'm going to prove to you that the same God of William Branham is here right now. I'm going to pray and God's going to make a hole in the clouds. And I said, the same God's going to do the same thing. We hit that at Waycross, which was perfect for what God was doing. Death and down from 12,500 feet in our plane. Down we came, and that thing, as the lightning flashed and as the wind shook the plane like this, and as the terror struck and the blindness of flying, not knowing whether it was going to run into a plane or what, and the water just pounding on the windshield till you couldn't see nothing. Here we come, down, 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 all the way, about halfway of the trip, all the way over here near Monroe, before we ever got out of that cloud, about 200 feet ceiling, I believe it was, Brother Ron. See, and we come down, and God brought us safe all the way, right through it. When we didn't have radar, didn't have no instruments to fly by, I made the statement as we entered into it. I said, brethren, I said, remember one thing. When the instruments fail, there's another instrument called faith, and I'm in touch with God in heaven. And this will take us right straight through. So he brought us on through, and God brought us through safe. Now, I said that to say this. Here we are again, talking about this thing tonight, and the building of God's temple, the latter days, the saints of God, the many members coming together, the habitation for God. And when this happens, then that means the glory of God's got to come into that building like it did in the days of Solomon. So then it took the wisdom of Solomon, which referred to the revelation of Jesus Christ in our time. You remember how Brother Baldwin came here and said God spoke to him way upstate, over in Nebraska, back up in Dakota somewhere, and said, go to little Bethlehem and prophesy. And he come here and he prophesied and said that God was putting at this place right here, the wisdom of Solomon. Now, Brother J.T. come along with that the other day, and we stood back there, and that was with J.T. Jr. now, the man-child, J.T. Jr., Brother J.T. having to do with Brother Branham. You remember what we said about that, and also Becky and George Jr. getting married, what it has to do with out in the West right now. Here it was, all coming together. J.T. Jr. was back there, caught up to the throne, that is, his whole heart went out to this, whereas J.T. Jr. has never done that before. See, Brother Parnell, having to do with the body of Brother Branham, just before the following of Brother Branham, or that is the body of Brother Branham, which J.T. represents, before it sees corruption, then here comes J.T. being the resurrection of Brother Parnell, just before corruption. Because Brother J.T. and the Brother Branham following up there in Jeff, all around in that area, that awful evil corruption of Sodom and everything else, had just literally been so bad that even Brother Parnell has cried like a baby. See, and before it gets in there and just literally corrupts everything and pulls people right down into the evil then God resurrects. Because like I told Brother Parnell, I said, Brother Parnell, you're not even supposed to think about those things, let alone talk about them. I said, the Bible said that it's unbecoming for us in so much that we're not to even mention or make mention of those things that's done in secret, that we will defile ourselves in our thinking. See, just before corruption. And so then, here Brother J.T. stood there on the steps leaning on the baluster and said, Brother Pike, you know, he says he realizes what has happened. Said, Brother Parnell acknowledges that there has been a change and that sure as there is the world that God is doing a new thing. Whereas people have denied it before and tried to hold to what was happening through Brother Branham, and that was the end of it. Now men like Brother Parnell and others are beginning to acknowledge that it's absolutely a fact. There has been a change and a new move is in the land. And Brother Parnell said, Brother Pike, you know, he said, you can't fall out with people for not getting a hold of it. He said, because I believe scientists say that you retain about 3% of what you hear. Said, you can't blame people. Said, Brother Pike, just think, when God completely changes His way and starts doing something, said, people are confounded. Said, they're used to following the way that they've always gone, and said, it's like Mary of old. See, when the divine conception come, it was so different from what God had done before until it just absolutely confounded the people. The people was, as the world says, completely flabbergasted. They couldn't understand what had happened. But nevertheless, God had spoke of it, and they just had not seen it. And see, it was so beautiful, because right at the time that He was talking, He had just come from the Virgin Islands. And there He was talking about the birth of this man-child being caught up, coming from the Virgin Islands, and talking about Mary the Virgin, and all of a sudden His Son, through the revelation, was being born and caught up, which meant the resurrection of Brother Branham's body. Just about the same time, the door was open here, and up come little David. David Durden, which we spoke of having to do with the house of David. Up he came with a little gold cap on and walked up inside the church, and there with him was little Brother Key. Well, little Brother Key, being the son of Brother Keys, the elder, we had spoke of Brother Keys and his wife going back to the Carolinas. I said, they'll go back. I said, because it's the will of God for them to go back. It has to do with the key and the door being open in heaven at this time, the man child being caught up, which is Calvary, and the open door. Jesus said, I'm the door, Peter, here's the key. Starting the church ages, bringing the world to an end. Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And I said, it has to do with him opening a door up there, and Brother God, when looking back in this direction, turning the heart back here. And sure enough, you remember about Big Green, how that Brother Tilden Cornelius had to go out there and just resurrect the thing, as we say. All of this having to do with Brother Walden and just a chain reaction of things that we'd have to talk to about tonight. But just staying with the major theme of our thought here so that we can understand it. Here we walked outside the house of David coming in now. He'd taken Brother Key's trailer. When we walked outside, Brother J.T. Parnell, he walked over to the right and stepped over into the pool where the horse usually sits. You know, there's two horses that usually sit out there. He stepped over into this pool, and when he stepped over into the pool, he squatted down like this and he said, take my picture. And when he did that, the Lord said to me, said, you're to be in the other pool. And I said within myself, I said, Lord, I can't go step over in that pool and say, take my picture. But I heard the Lord say, this has to do with Moses and Brother Branham, and this has to do with Joshua and the crossing of the Jordan. And I said, but God, I can't do that. How am I going to do that? And the Lord said, I'll take care of it for you. So then all of a sudden, here come little Joshua Adams, which was with Brother Parnell and with the people. And Joshua wanted his picture taken. So then I said, all right, Joshua, I said, come on and I'll set you in the pool. So when I went to set him in the pool, I had to step over in the pool with him. When I set him in the pool, I stepped back out of the pool for them to take the picture. And then I looked, and behind it was a cord, an electrical cord with a big end on it, a plug-in. And the Lord spoke to me to get that thing out of the way. So when I went over there to get it out of the way, The Lord spoke to me that this is the serpent, and this is the head of the serpent. Put it down in this hole. And this is the end of it, the crossing of the Jordan, which has to do with the serpentine course that runs right down through Israel, the Jordan, of course, which we baptized our sister Cook back here in the Jordan over there, and Brother James Isaac had to do with the great revelation while we was over in Israel. But anyway, there it was. I put it down there, stepped back into the pool, I put it down there, and then I got out and they took little Joshua's picture. Well, see, on this side, it has to do with the women. On that side, the pool has to do with the men. You remember that when we laid those stones, I told you how them little stones had to do with that. And then it goes back to the crossing of the Jordan and how that we stayed up all night, Brother Atla and I, when we put those dove fountains out there. You remember that? And how the cold broke them up, having to do with the crossing of the Jordan. And how Sister Jansen brought those two horses. It had to do with those, with the crossing of the Jordan. All right, now here, over here was the women folk. Over here was the men folk. Now, over here had to do with the Jews and the crossing of the Jordan, while over here had to do with the bride and Brother Branham and what he had spoke of in the resurrection of Brother Branham, Brother J.T. Parnell, that little old thing out there just like a grave, standing there and the picture being taken, and then Brother J.T. Moses and over here Joshua crossing over the Jordan. And there it was on this side, and everything was just perfect in the way the Lord had shown me. We had just come back from Miami, which had to do with the heavens and the door open in heaven, Brother Keith going up there, and the lightning and Lucifer being cast out. And it had to do with the personification of Lucifer in the earth, which was that problem that occurred here in Monroe, that, and the grand dragon walking around in Monroe at that time when we come back. Lucifer being cast out. Some of you remember that. As a matter of fact, I told some of you, I said, that ain't got nothing to do with what you think. I said, it's just somebody wanting TV cameras. And sure enough, when the TV cameras didn't come down in social circle, some of them didn't even show up down there. Now, when we left from here, we walked on down to where we were going to separate. As we walked down there, little J.T. Parnell got in a white car. The elder Parnell got in a blue car. David got in the blue car with Brother Parnell, going back to the house of David. And over here, the ladies and the different ones got in the car with little J.T. Jr. Just about the time that we was fixing to part, all of a sudden, you know, the Lord was speaking about Elijah. Remember Brother Branham? The return of Elijah after being gone during the 7 years, the tribulation period, and whatever, you know, we told you about it here, having to do with those tornadoes and everything. Now, just about time we got ready to separate, we were standing there, and the Lord was talking to me, and He was talking to me about the resurrection of the body, and now the Spirit, which is the Christ, all the revelation, has returned to the body, and like Brother Parnell said, I saw Brother Pike, said, I saw your following, as he called it, and Brother Branham's following come together. Said, I saw them come together in a vision. That is the resurrection. See where these were coming together. And with that comes Elijah. And with that comes Elijah facing Jezebel and the make-believe prophets. And sure enough, just about the time I was thinking on that, little Joseph pulled up and I looked at his bicycle and it said the showdown. Everything was so perfectly in line. Then all of a sudden, having to do with the casting out of Lucifer and having to do with the grand dragon being up here, we had spoke about Brother Beretta and my daughter Dale and how that they had to do with the woman that goes away in the wilderness. And right in the middle of the week when the child goes up, like Junior there, as we spoke of JT, the dragon going out like the grand dragon, and then gross darkness covering the earth like the problems, and all of these little children being killed up here in Atlanta when we made the statement that it has to do with that arena meeting that we had up there. Ramah, that is the weeping of Rachel, weeping for her children, and they were not. See, she would not be comforted. So then all of a sudden, to cap the whole thing off, my daughter and Brother Beretta at this time now
See, the woman is supposed to go away in a wilderness, a place prepared for times and half a time, and sure enough, all of a sudden I get word that Brother Beretta and my daughter is planning to move to Hidden Village. See, everything is just perfectly in line for what God is doing. Now, to you that are smart, it's not for you. It is to those foolish and abased ones, so that it might confound all of you smart people. The foolish and abased things of the world, the simple, unnoticed things that work so beautifully. Now you say, Brother Pike, that's some coincidence, the way you put all that together. I tell you what, why don't you put something together? And then you come and tell me about it. Let's examine it. Brother, let me tell you something. Brother Pike didn't put nothing together. God, from the foundation of the world, who is the great Holy Spirit, reveals Himself in types and shadows. Can't you imagine how foolish Paul sound when he come up before all those Pharisees and scribes, those great grand Bible scholars that was so mixed up with the world and the world mixed up with them? And he stood there and he said, "Now hear ye the word of the Lord. Sarah is New Jerusalem, and Hagar is Old Jerusalem." And they probably thought, we need to put him in a padded cell, if they had padded cells in that day. They said, "Paul, much learning has caused you to go crazy." But nevertheless, Paul knew what he was talking about. Seeing as it's still that same revelation of Jesus Christ, that same great, wonderful Spirit of God, the Christ that was in Paul, that was talking, is still the same Christ of today. It's still the same Christ that was in John when John said that this great Antichrist came up out of many waters. And then he said, "Now, folks, waters is people." So you see, God, who is a Spirit, still speaks to us, as we would say, through the old Indian sign language. That is, God's voice comes to you in thought. God's voice comes to you in tones of the ministering, of the word by the minister. And God comes to you speaking to you in the whirlwind. He said, "David, when you see the whirlwind, when you see the moving and hear the rustling of the leaves in the mulberry tree," he said, "then the move is on." So then David, standing watching for the leaves of the tree to start shaking, if he had told somebody, they'd have said, "David, you're crazy, you lost your mind. Talking about because the wind blows in the midst of a tree, that we're going to win the battle." But nevertheless, see, David knew what he was talking about. And the same way when David went down into the brook to pick up five smooth stones to go fight a giant, they would have said, "David, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. You can't do that." But see, David knew the revelation. David knew just exactly what would overthrow that giant. And that it wasn't swords, and it wasn't shields, and it wasn't the armor of the great leaders of that day like Saul. But God had hewed out of the mountain a little stone. And that little stone came rolling down through Babylon. And that little stone was to smack that image and destroy that image. David knew that. So then the same way with Cain and with Abel. One offered blood, the other did not offer blood. Why? Because one of them had a revelation and the other didn't have a revelation. Therefore, they didn't think it mattered as long as they had it figured out. But see, they learned too late they didn't have it figured out. So then, where are we at this very moment? Here we are in the last fleeting moments of time, right here, and they that are spiritual will understand it. They that are not spiritual will not receive it. Therefore, here we are right in the last fleeting moments of time, and we are right here at Little Bethlehem. And what is Little Bethlehem? It's like J.T. said when we started walking up the walkway out here, he said, "Brother Pike," he said, "you know what that tree was that I saw in front of Bethlehem?" I said, "J.T., what was it?" He said, "It was the tree of life." Hallelujah. Brethren, it's here. The tree of life is here at Little Bethlehem. He said, and the thing about it, Brother Pike said, it had been there all the time. He said, but we had never noticed it. He said, we'd always overlooked it. See, and it's like Brother Parnell's vision about the Ark of the Covenant being here and something new that was to be revealed that had never been revealed before. Somebody say, oh, Brother Pike, everything's been revealed, the mysteries and all of this kind of thing. But Brother Parnell said, the voice said that there is something, the Ark of the Covenant has never been revealed before, but it's going to be revealed. And that's true. Now, so then we see the wonderfulness of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Branham preached all those things. Brother Branham never preached what I preached tonight. Brother Branham didn't know nothing about it. You know why he didn't know nothing about it? George Jr. never stood there with Brother Branham on that little balcony right there. And he'd never give George Jr. his, or J.T. Jr., that is, his belt buckle. He couldn't have done it. See, Brother Branham wasn't in this hour. Brother Branham was in that hour. Moses didn't do it. Paul didn't do it. Neither did Abraham do it, and Brother Branham didn't do it either. But folks, God is doing something now in your day and Brother Pike's day, just as He did Brother Branham's day and Brother Paul's day and Brother Abraham and Brother Elijah's day, and that's what makes it so beautiful. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I can swallow it down when you say that all of it wasn't in Abraham's day, that there come on Elijah. And I can swallow it down when you say that there wasn't Elijah, but still there was a move of God and there came a Paul. But to swallow it down and say that God would use you, that's more than I can swallow. But that's what makes it so great. See, He chooses the foolish and abased things of the world to confound all you smart yous. Isn't God good? So then it's wonderful to be here tonight talking about this fallen down house of David. Bethlehem means the house of bread or the city of David. You know, he said, Jerusalem is where I'll place this building. And believe it or not, when we come here, something said, now, this is Jerusalem. And said, put Jerusalem out here. And then I said, Lord, I'll be glad to do it. But if I do, they'll make a joke out of it. And something said, it will be there, but it'll be like this, little Bethlehem. And they won't never know it. And did you know that every time that our brother comes from the islands, every time he comes over here, our black brother from the islands, he always said, I don't know why this is, but I always call this place Jerusalem. God's good, isn't He? All right, so it's wonderful to be a Christian in fellowship together. We're doing a little something today, watching the revelation. I noticed down here on this building that we're taking the top off of and double strengthening, see, tripling that thing up, getting that double potion, as we would say. I noticed down there that God started talking to me, and I heard something say, now this stuff come from William Brothers. Hallelujah. William Brothers are builders. Said, now don't you remember how upset you was when that come? Said, don't you remember how this great load, they picked it up with this lift, and you went over here to help the man, this whole stack of lumber fell on you? And don't you remember how that you fell back against the truck, making the cross like this, and your hand got pinned in here on the metal when it hit it, and how that I worked the miracle for you that you never did even have any problem out of the hand? George Jr. run under it and got up under there after it fell, and started trying to lift it up this way, trying to help me slip my hand out from under it. See the cross? You understand what I'm saying? William Brothers, Brother William Branham, said this lumber wasn't too good. And I thought, now that's it, as the Lord spoke, William Branham, his following, there's a fault among his following. And there's a weakness among his following. So then we went over to West Lumber Company and we got something and we strengthened it. And we pulled the twist out and took the curves out of it. Hallelujah. And we're taking the leaks out of the building and we put it together solid. Somebody said, well, that's coincidental. It really was coincidental because it was William Brothers lumber and we needed 56 pieces, the same age of Brother Branham when he died. It took 56 pieces to do it. So you're the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the smart. Now, all the time that you're trying to figure out how dumb we are, that all that time we're having that feast of charity with God and He's just feeding us just like cake and bananas. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we could go on and go on, as the song says, talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. All right, so we could go on and go on with the revelation. But you know the beauty of this? Not only is it beautiful that God would speak, whereas it's not me speaking, but God. Now, not only is that true, but see, this is not just a lot of words and a lot of sound and oral expression to have a lot of knowledge to make you weary, in that much study causes weariness of the flesh. It isn't that. But see, these thoughts are God's thoughts, and because it is God's thoughts, that means because I spoke these things that this happened in heaven. As in earth, so in heaven. That everything you heard me say in the Spirit and in heaven, that was another step for God and another step for God and another step for God and another step for God. And now then, since all that took place, God come from way over here to way over here. He's that much further down the line with what He's doing and with that much nearer to the closing of the Gentile age, and to say the least, in 7 days, planets start lining up. Or about 7 days. You love Jesus? There's one thing about it, whether right or wrong, it all fits together good, don't it? Let's stand together. God said, I will do a new thing. Now then, did God lie? Did God lie? Or is God doing a new thing? If God did not lie, and inasmuch as the Bible said it's impossible for God to lie, then that means God's doing a new thing. If God's doing a new thing, then, brother, that means that everything wasn't finished. Only in the sense Jesus said it's finished, and we're comprehending it right down to the finishing line. So then, if God's doing a new thing, then it is a fact that something new is going on tonight. Isn't that right? If nothing else, the Bible said His mercies are new every day. Let's sing a little chorus together. I hope these few words of exhortation from time to time, from day to day, from year to year, from this inexhaustible stream or this fountain of God that continually comes forth to let you know year after year that all these many multiplied things that are so many that you could never get them in the book, all these things are to let you know that God is here. And you know what? These wonderful things of God are called heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. The knowledge of God. Solomon said that you'll find the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God, I will return in the last day, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. Could this be the last days? Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the end of the world have come. Evidently that was the last days. Could this be the finishing up of the last days? And if this be the last days, then could this be the building up of the fallen down house of David? Could it be that all through the church ages, as Peter said, that that was the building up of the fallen down house of David, and that finally here we are at the end of it, and those great walls through world evangelism has been built upon the foundation of that great Christ that laid it before He left. And having been built, it was by that great master builder, Paul's tutoring and teaching. And could we now be at the end of it, and the capstone of the revelation of Jesus Christ is now come to catch us up into the third heaven as it was Paul, which is the rapture and the change of the church? Could it be that? It is possible, because in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, that which is called the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the coming of the Lord, John did see the open door, and it sure does fit with the woman with her foot on the moon, as Revelation 12 says, and it sure does fit with Brother Keyes going up about this time for a door open in heaven. And it sure does fit in that everything is shaping up for the alignment of something opening up in the heavens when God starts shaking it till the stars fall out. It does sound like everything is shaping up together to where right at this moment, as God said, not only have I shook the earth in the days of Moses, but I'm going to shake heaven. I'm going to shake heaven. Folks, which means to me that not only in the days of Brother Branham did God give a pillar of fire and God did a few miracles in the body, but that God is fixing to renovate the spirit of mankind and the heavenlies is fixing to yield forth with a greater measure, and that even at this time that God's going to put it all together, body and spirit, and shake heaven and earth. and that we are the temple of the living God, and that's what Bethlehem has to do with, and that we are coming into the perfectness of God, in that we are perfected by faith. That is, Paul said, we're the heifer of your faith. We want faith to be made perfect. In that the perfection of mankind lies within one thing, and that is believing. And that having done all that we can to stand in doing the works that makes faith perfect, that we have done the best we know how, folks. You ladies in wearing the long dresses, and you men in trying to be gentlemen, and us coming together to try to serve Him and put everything out, in coming together with our works, could it be that God has taken our works and made faith perfect? And in that faith has been made perfect, then our perfection was this one thing, and that is we've been perfect all the time. For God, by foreknowledge, even before Christ was manifested at Calvary, He perfected forever them that were sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all with the offering up of the body. Them that He sanctified, perfected, the Bible said He justified. Them that He justified, the Bible said they were sanctified. And the Bible said them that He sanctified, He also glorified. Could it be that we are the glorified church? Most assuredly, whatever we hear and know and can believe, that's what we are. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Could it be that God actually has chosen us out of the earth and hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received? Could it be that we did make the rapture and that we're not of the earth? And that we are God's and we're not dwelling in the earth, in that He said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. And could it be that we are those that dwell in heaven? And could it be that we have passed from death unto life, inasmuch as what God does is a state of mind, and all we do is believe it because He's already done it. And inasmuch as there's no difference between heaven and earth in the sense of where and when, time and whatever, in that there's no difference, then could it be that what we're saying is true? In that I ask the question again, can you find yesterday, or can you tell me when tomorrow will be here? Or can you show me tomorrow after it comes? Or is it that when tomorrow gets here, we're still looking for tomorrow because we've never found tomorrow and we're still waiting for tomorrow? The same as it is with yesterday, in that yesterday is gone, then it's a true fact that tomorrow we're not going to find yesterday. Now, if that be true, then if up is down and down is up, and in is out and is in, and there's no markers anywhere, and there's no boundaries, and nobody can find anything, and even from the beginning of time, as we would say time, a few shadows fell on the ground and man made what he called a clump, could it be that there was no time to start with? And now we've come to the place where there'll be no time afterwards. And then when you think and put it all together, what was time anyway? Could it be that God speaks of it after this fashion, and that it is so, that from eternity to eternity, and before the world ever was, we are, that He's begotten us in Christ Jesus, who was with Him before the foundation of the earth, and that we are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and that He is about to restore the joys that we had with Him before the foundation of the world, in that we was His foreknowledge unto predestination and election? Could it be that we really are sons of God, gods in the earth, and that we did pass through this great chasm, or that we did pass through this great tunnel that's called time, and this little lapse of darkness, and that Revelation 10 is here, and the clocks have been taken away, and the calendar's taken away, and that we have become people that are actually standing in the Spirit and in the body, or the earth that's made of the dust, that is? Could it be that we have tied both together because we sought God and loved the Lord? In that this that we called heaven, Paul was in that third heaven, and that Jesus, as He stood on the mountain, was in glory. And that great new Jerusalem that we're talking about being heaven, that it's actually going to come down on the earth. And inasmuch as we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, could it be that we're that city, and that the Bible called that city the Lamb's bride, and He did marry somebody, could it be that He married us? And that we're the lively stones that make up that building that the Holy Spirit dwells in, and that at this time, that we have founded upon the apostolic teaching, that the glory of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, has actually filled the temple, and that God is dwelling among men? Could it be that grace makes the difference in that the blood is on the seat of atonement, and in that that is true, that grace is what makes the difference? And in that grace makes the difference, could it be at all possible that since grace makes the difference, that right at this particular time, in that grace makes the difference, that it's just a matter of the blood being on the seat of atonement? Or, that is, if the blood is on the seat of atonement, then when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, that there is no more second heaven, so far as Lucifer is concerned and so far as the world is concerned, and that they lose all of their medical care, and they lose all of their good eats and their comforts and luxuries, and they lose all of their convenience, and that they are now in the outer darkness of the intellectual reasoning of that gross darkness covering the earth, and that we who live in that light are walking in the brightness of the mind of Christ, in that the Lamb, the great Holy Spirit, is the light of that city, and that we are that city in the lively stones of God's building. Is it possible that this happened and the world didn't see it, and that He promised to steal out the jewels, make them up by night, and as the thief would come in, that He would take away the jewels and the others would be left? Is it possible that He has done it? Brethren, many things we could say. Not only is it possible, it has happened. It happened just exactly that way, because it was the mind of Christ to begin with. In the beginning was nothing but the Holy Spirit, which is a mind that manifested itself in a human body called Jesus, that it might be the head of a human family that would be God's darling family. And that aside from that, there was a serpent called a generation of vipers, of many members. And John cut down that tree with his axe as he came out of the wilderness, that old tree of knowledge. And as Jesus was hung upon the tree, the curse, that is, cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree, the curse was taken away, and that John laid the axe to the root of the tree, and the tree was cut down, Israel going into the darkness to show that God had rejected humanity and had received His people and translated them into the marvelous kingdom of our God, in that the Bible teaches that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom has come, men pressed their way into it. And when this message of the kingdom has been preached in all the world for witness, then shall the end come. And brother, sister, they've been preaching this all over the world. Not the revelation of Jesus Christ in the sense of that which translates the church to the third heaven, which is the mind of Christ, the child caught up, but the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, believe ye the gospel. Another thing I noticed, Michael coming up here tonight, which of course has to do with my brother Grady. Michael, his son, it was in the middle of the week, just as it is tonight concerning the middle of the week. It was in the middle of the week that Michael fought with the red dragon and overthrew the red dragon, and he was cast down, and the man-child was caught up to the throne. And so then Michael coming up here tonight is a good substantiation of what I just said, that even here, as always at Little Bethlehem, the miraculous takes place and these things happen in the hearts of people. And here, of course, is Michael. That would have to do with, we say, the red dragon. And we would say, what would that be? That means leaving the land of your kindred, the flesh and blood, turning away from your family, putting that out, and becoming a son of God, leaving the natural and all of the things that he's been related to out there in the world, rejecting that and accepting Christ as his personal Savior. You love Jesus? Tell you what I'd like for you to do tonight. I'd like for you to gather around the throne with me tonight. You say, Brother Pike, around the throne, believe it or not, the kingdom of God is within me, and God sits on the throne of my heart. Gather around the throne tonight. The Bible teaches that the kingdom of God is within you, and what would a kingdom be without a throne? So then let's gather around the throne of God tonight, if we do nothing but gather around each other the body of Jesus in which God dwells. Two or three gathered together in my name will God be in the midst of us and dwell among men? He said, I will. I will. If two or three of you come together in my name, I'll place my name upon that house of the many-membered body of the Temple of Solomon. The virtue of God shall be in you as it was it came out from Christ to the little woman. And if anybody looks toward this many-membered body of the holy temple of God, no matter what the sickness and heartaches and sorrows are, if you look toward this temple, God said, I'll heal you. Call on my name and I'll hear your prayer. And so it is tonight with the body of the Lord Jesus in the earth. The Bible said the tabernacle of God is among men. In the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of John, he said that the tabernacle of God was among men. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, if this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hand. As we have borne the image of the earthly, which is the first man, Adam, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly, which is the resurrected Jesus. For our temple, our tabernacle, eternal in the Spirit, even the body of Jesus Christ, whose members ye are in particular. So then tonight when we say this, then ye are the tabernacle of God in the earth. But the Bible said that the dragon, which is those that are without, those that are in the blood life out there, sinners, that the dragon blasphemed that church in the earth and blasphemed the name of that tabernacle, which is Jesus. The Bible said they deliver you up before the seats of judgment that they might blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called, blaspheming the name of the tabernacle, in that you've lost your identity in death. Then tonight you received his identity as Jesus Christ. Even the body of the Lord, and it's not you living, but Christ that liveth within you. And the life you now live, you live by the Son of God. Could it be that God is in the midst of his people? It could be. It's a wonderful thing tonight to know that Jesus is so real and Jesus is so wonderful. Things is happening. Revelation 13, and the beast came up out of the waters. That is a great leader among many people. Revelation 13. And then immediately upon the clouds of heaven came the one with the sharp sickle, and a voice cried out, cast in the sickle, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Reap. And the Bible said it was reaped. And another one came out, and they said, cast in the sickle, the one that had power over fire. And the Bible said that the vine was cut down. You've heard that old saying, it went through the grapevine. The Bible said our vines, our branches have tender grapes. Cut down the grapevine or cut down the vine. And the Bible said there'd be no more harvest, like the song we wrote about the grim reaper. And the Bible says that it was cast into the winepress of Almighty God, which is just outside the gates of Jerusalem. The Bible said it was trod without the gates. Jesus lost his blood without the gates. In the valley of Armageddon where Betty and I stood, or that valley, as we looked out there where the battle of Armageddon will take place, in that valley, when the angel said that all of this was gathered to that valley, they trampled it. All of the horsemen of the Caesars in the battle of Israel taking place in the breadbasket of the world. There, the blood will run up to the horse's bridle. Folks, it's right there, right now. Believe it or not, that Chrysler that came back, the Dale Star, and my daughter gave me, which had to do with Brother Cartridge of the Little Book. Dale Star, the Day Star, having to do with the marriage supper. And what we said, my daughter and him being one, he went over to Israel, to Lebanon. He's over there in that area right now, fixing to go into Israel. Being caught up to the throne, the man-child, after the marriage supper here. And you remember the things that took place. Jesus coming through the eastern gates. Everything is just right. Everything is pointing to the coming of the Lord. The Chrysler come back, showing the redemption of the body. The Chrysler that Brother Willie had, they called Brother Branham Willie. The black man said, we called him Willie. And there he went and got Brother Ernie Correll's car that had to do with the firstborn, had to do with our coach, and had to do with the Chrysler that we bought at the same time with our coach at Waycross, the same place we just crossed when we went into that great cloud with the plane, the little twin commander. And in this, at that very same time that we bought the coach, getting the Chrysler, coming back, all of a sudden, this that had to do with Brother Blake and what we said about the woman in the wilderness, the clearing away of those, that wilderness, her coming out of it, the separation, this same coach that we have that's connected with all of that, many of these things you have on tape in detail. With this, they took the carpet out of this very sanctuary, or that is the same kind of carpet, and they carpeted our little bus. It has to do with the church, the firstborn, the son, the resurrection. And the brethren, Brother Marsh and them from Marysville, that had to do with the Mary and the Virgin and the firstborn, even our coach, Reuben the firstborn, the birthright. All of a sudden, they're going on the inside of it, and they're going to completely redo it. And strangely enough, you usually don't do this in coaches, but they're putting flowers in our coach. The springtime Arab resurrection. It's beautiful. Everything is so beautiful. And on we could go with the wonderfulness of God, of the songbook coming out, and the songs of the Lamb, and many other things. Let's just lift our hands up together tonight. We stand here with you, and Michael standing before us. This is a beautiful sight. For the man-child being caught up to the throne. The Bible said, and in that day, Michael shall stand for God's people, or for his people, the Jewish people. And all of you standing out there behind Michael, and Michael standing here tonight. See, it's a great symbol again of Michael in that hour standing for his people. You are a fortunate people. Great things have been made known to you. And while others searched, and while others complimented themselves, and while others criticized you, the Christ was being born. And while others were so sure that they knew, and that you didn't know all the time, it turned out that they didn't know and you did know. And all the time that God favored you, being a rejected stone, the same has become the head of the corner. The Bible said it's the marvelous work of God. So then, as we stand here in this thing having taken place, you know tonight who you are. You know what has happened to you. You know where you are. You know that you made it into the kingdom of God. But folks, it's a wonderful thing to know in all reality what has happened. But what about those that are so distant and those that don't understand? Oh, how hard it is to tell them. But be jubilant tonight, and you that are in heaven, rejoice, the Bible said. Rejoice forevermore, for now has come strength and power. Now has come His Christ, and the kingdoms of this world, as our flag states, has become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And He shall rule forever and ever. It's a beautiful sight. A beautiful sight. You say, but I can't believe it, Brother Pike. I know you can't, but the saints did. And you didn't make it, and they did. You didn't believe it because you were not elect. But Enoch was translated by faith and went away to who knows where. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, there's one thing about it. You didn't do like Enoch did. The Bible said, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. He hath chosen us out of this world and hath with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. The only thing is, he hid it by leaving the natural so that you can look upon lying vanities and believe lying divinations, and so that you could have strong delusions and not really see these beautiful sons and daughters. God lets you do that because you look on the outward appearance. But the Bible said not to know any man after that outward appearance, not to know any man after the flesh. For we are dead and buried with Him so far as the natural man, and alive by resurrection, baptized into His death, alive by the infilling of the great Holy Spirit. Alive unto a living cause and a lifeless stone. Alive in heaven with God, having been translated and sealed in into that wonderful kingdom of God. You cannot wait for the kingdom. You cannot look for the kingdom, because you're already in the kingdom. You've already seen the kingdom, and the kingdom is already in you. But God hath blinded the eyes of them that are around you, that they might look at lying divinations and have strong delusions. and dispute the heavenly creative word of the Almighty God and the great wonderfulness of what He hath done. Confessing themselves to be wise, they become fools. God having blinded their eyes, the gods of this world, that they might not see, and hearing that they might not hear and might not perceive, lest at any time they should hear, see, convert, that God should save them. Remember, say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and doubt not in your heart. Ye shall have whatsoever ye say, if ye doubt not. So then as a man thinketh in his heart tonight, so are you. Where do you think you are? And who do you think you are? And what do you think has happened? And why do you think it took place? And what do you have to say in your conviction about everything that God has said? Can you rejoice, or do you dwell in heaven according to your thinking? Tonight I'm in heaven. Tonight I'm in heaven. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, I say, welcome to heaven. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, how can this be? Can the kingdom of heaven be in you and you not be in heaven? For the Bible said the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. They'll see lying vanities and they look for strong delusions. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God's been here since the time of John. Men have been pressing their way into it and praying, Father, thy will be done on earth since thy kingdom come. Let it be done as it is in heaven. Father, make us to do your will. Always I do the things that please the Father. The body of Christ. The light has come into the world, and this is the witness against men, that they love darkness rather than light, because they won't repent of their sins and be convicted in righteousness. They remain in the intellectual reason of darkness. Now, their deeds are evil. That's why. So then when we say heaven, I say again, 7 years of bad government we call a tribulation. And then all of a sudden, do we go to heaven? No, the same earth. Same earth. You say, but that's not heaven. You tell me that the millennium is not heaven. Oh yes, my brother, sister, it's heaven. Say, but Brother Pike, heaven is up yonder. No, just 7 years of bad government. Really, just three. And then all of a sudden, you know heaven, and you didn't go anywhere. Now we say, what are you talking about? Well, it's been several years that you've been here, some of you. It didn't take long, did it? Just a few years, and you'll run through it, and there'll be heaven, and there'll be Jesus sitting on the throne. Can it be that God has come down to man? He most certainly has. He lives in my heart. He'll sit down on the throne. Where? In heaven. Where's that? Right here on this earth. Somebody said, yes, on the new earth. No, no, on this earth. It's just the restored earth, that's all. The new earth doesn't come until after the 1,000 years. So then we say, yeah, but that's when you're caught up to heaven. But the Bible said New Jerusalem comes down to earth. Say, but it's changed into the new earth. I know, but it still said the city came down from God. Even though it changed, it's still the same earth. It just becomes glorified. And it doesn't go anywhere. New Jerusalem comes down to it. So then, could it be that heaven is down here? It most assuredly is. The kingdom of God is heaven, and the kingdom of God's within your heart, and wherever God's kingdom is, that's where God is. So then, it's so beautiful. The translation, what has happened? What is all of this? You know, that's where the revelation comes in. That's how Paul got into the third heaven. What is this, the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven? What is all of this about? Do you believe there will be a change, Brother Pike? I said this before, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Too late, you missed it. It's gone. Somebody said, but I'm waiting for the change. Too late. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brethren, let me tell you, the Bible said from glory to glory you're changed into that wonderful image of God and translated into the kingdom. And besides that, if the change is going to be that quick, then what if it does come? What if all of a sudden it happened? Too late, you missed it. It's gone. Quicker than I can pop my finger. So you see how foolish it is to talk about waiting around for something that within a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, is going to happen. It's foolishness. See, the thing is, brother, sister, you are changed in the glorious image of God. And then when you're changed and you're complete in Him and everything is perfect, then when that thing comes, you made it. You made it. You made it. See the difference? In other words, you don't have time to do nothing. That's foolish to wait around on something that's going to happen. Now's the time to get ready to be changed from glory to glory, to practice righteousness, to perfect holiness unto God, to go on unto perfection, to do these things that we're telling you to do. When you do this and the last one steps in, it'd just be so wonderful. You made it. It was all over. Let's don't wait for something like that. Let's do the will of our Heavenly Father. And then when that instantaneous thing takes place, it's not but for one thing. It's not to take you to heaven. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, we're caught up. Caught up where? Jesus was caught up. But where was He caught up to? Somebody said, well, He was caught up to heaven. He just was caught up and went out of sight. When Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration where Peter and Him was, He was in glory. He was in heaven. Caught up. Said, but we're going to be caught up. But the Bible said the man-child was caught up as soon as he was born. How many of you have been born again? When you was born, you was caught up. That's why you dwell in heaven. God is a spirit. His sons and daughters are spirit. That little tabernacle you dwell in don't have nothing to do with it. Not a thing. If you think it has anything to do with it, go down to the morgue and go down there and take a look at the little house the man moved out of yesterday. And you'll find out it ain't doing nothing. It ain't doing nothing. Somebody said, well, it'll lay there and wait for the resurrection. Yeah, but what good is that? It depends on the condition it was in when it lay down as to whether it's going to be good for him. He ain't wanting to see the resurrection if he didn't live right. You can be sure for that. So then, I'm just trying to explain something to you. I'm trying to make you to understand. This little house is just left here so that people cannot see the real you. The Bible said the inner you shall outshine the noonday sun, even the brightness of the noonday. And for this wonderful treasure that you already have in your earthen vessel, it is so great, it is so wonderful, even the knowledge of God, the revelation, the great faith of the word of change, of spirit and life. You pass from death unto life. You shall never come into condemnation. He that cannot sin cannot die, because the sting of death is sin, and sin is conquered forever. Therefore, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Don't wait to go to heaven. If you're waiting to go to heaven, then I invite you tonight to be born again that you might go. But you that have been born again, I tell you again, rejoice ye that are in heaven. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. Welcome to heaven and do some rejoicing since you're here. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. Enjoy yourself and rejoice forevermore, because the eyes of the Lord is upon you. You're His children. You made it. Somebody say, well, can I? You did already. Even before the world ever was, you made it. Therefore, accept it, rejoice in it, according to the thinking so you are. Why be sad? And why listen to this old intellectual brainstorm of Lucifer's lying divinations when you've got the mind of Jesus in here? And David said you can stir up your pure heart and you can have a good time in God. For I would that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. For all things work together for good to you, because you're God's. And gods cannot die. So why not enjoy life here in the fullness? And then when that quick change comes, as we call it, why not just go right on throughout eternity doing what we did before that happened? You love Jesus? What's the house got to do with it anyway? Peter said, if this little thing be dissolved, you got another one. Not that we desire to be unclothed, but rather clothed upon by a house from heaven. It's so beautiful, folks. It's so beautiful. Don't be carnally minded. If you're church-minded, ritualistic-minded, denominational-minded, charismatic-minded, all these kind of things, then you are natural. You are carnal. And to be carnally minded means that you are dead, for you're dead while you live. But if you're spiritual-minded, you have the mind of Christ, it means you're alive forevermore. You pass from death unto life. For to be carnally minded means you're still dead. Sweet. Sleep over my soul, sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep, over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Folks, awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake thou that sleepest. Slumber no longer. Awake. As in the vision when I went over the graveyard and I called the dead from the graves. And as I stood by the graveyard again, and I called the dead from the graves, rejoice ye that are in heaven. Enjoy. Why would you think carnally? Why would you dispute the word of the living God, the created word that said, let there be, when there was nothing and nothing became something? Doesn't he have the right to say that that's the way it is, whether you think it or not? Doesn't he have the right to call it as it is? The Bible said calling those things that are not as though they are. That is, calling those things that are not according to people's sight. But call them as the Word says they are, for they are. For we don't live by sight, we live by faith. Faith spoke the world into existence. Faith translated Enoch. Faith is what heals your body. Faith is what preserves you and brings you prosperity. Where is that faith? By the hearing of the Word. What does the Word say? That you should believe what it says. And what does it say? Rejoice ye that are in heaven. Somebody said, but when we get there, but it didn't say that. It said for you to have faith in what it said. What did it say? It said you are in heaven. For God has hid you with Christ, whom the heavens have received, having chosen you out of the earth. My, if that won't make you happy, then you're not among the happy folk. If that doesn't make you happy, then serving God couldn't be joy to you, because you're not serving God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I wished I could believe that. I wished you could too, because that's how you're born again. But if you're in that city, it's no trouble to believe it. If you're in heaven, it's no trouble to believe that you're in heaven. It's no problem if you're really there. But to try to make believe that you're in heaven when you're not there, that's a problem right there. The Bible did say, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Lucifer is among them. The grand dragon was walking the streets. Ye that are in heaven, ye can rejoice, for the accuser of the brethren is cast out, that accuse them night and day. But ye are God's building, an habitation for the great Holy Spirit, founded upon the foundation that, and other foundations can no man lay. Foundations of the Holy Spirit. Even the apostles, the 12 names that's written in the foundation. Abraham said that city that's got a foundation. I'm going to say this in trying to find a place to close. There's no city, New York, California, there's no city that's got foundations, not in this world. No city at all. Somebody would say, well, I believe there is. Well, if you'd get with those astronauts and you'd sail around this globe, you'd find out that not only is the city's lacking in foundation, but the world that it's supposed to be in is lacking in foundation, that the world nor the cities have a foundation. But Abraham said, I know a city that's got a foundation. I'm seeking that city. Said, that city Its builder and maker is God. Who then was God? Paul said, I'm the wise master builder. And who was he? He was Jesus Christ. Because he said, it's not Paul living. Jesus was the wise master builder, even God. And what was that? The revelation of Jesus Christ. You love the Lord? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? While you're loving Jesus, I want you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For it shall come to pass, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? I want you to believe. Oh, hallelujah, I felt somebody believe. Glory to God, I felt the connection from heaven. It stands to reason that we should feel heavenly if we're in heaven. You're sitting together in heavenly places, standing together in heavenly places. I feel the connection. You know what happened? Somebody touched God and the yoke broke. The yoke broke. You know what the yoke is? That old carnal mind of reasoning that Satan's had you bound with, that old carnal mind of death. The yoke broke and somebody started to believe it. I felt it. Jesus said he felt that virtue when somebody touched him. He said, I felt it. It went out of my body. I felt it. Somebody touched Jesus because I felt it go out of my body. You're the temple. Any man look toward the temple, the virtue goes out of the temple and it heals them. Why should anybody be sick that's in heaven? Anybody that's in heaven, why should you be sick? There is no sick folks in heaven. Somebody said, well, I feel mighty bad sometimes. That's because you keep playing around in the devil's den. Stay out of that old body and stay in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Talk in the Spirit. There's no sickness in the Spirit. It's all in the body. That's where the worms work. Hallelujah. Can you think in heaven? Let your conversation be in heaven. Can you talk in heaven? Can you believe in heaven? Do you dwell in heaven? Oh, my brother, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you'll rejoice, ye that dwell in heaven, that body will get better and get better and get better. Amen. That's right. Can we sing the little chorus, I love him? You just say, Brother Pike, this sounds like a fairy tale. But see, this is the glory of the whole thing. This is not a fairy tale. Now, you read about Alice in Wonderland, you know, that's a fairy tale. But brother, sister, this ain't no fairy tale. This is that real, genuine thing. Has it happened? It took many thousands of years for it to happen. You say, but Brother Pike, all you're talking about is thinking. That's all it is a state of mind. Oh, somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. If that isn't right, why did the Bible say you're elect according to a state of mind? He said, where do you read that? He said, by his foreknowledge. It all happened in the mind of God before the world ever was. So then what are we doing? We're just learning about the mind of God. The mind of God, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, is being revealed. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's the revealing of you being Christ. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Somebody said, revealing to who? It's being revealed to you. Somebody said, well, it ain't to me. That's because you're not one of them. You're not the one I'm talking to. I'm talking to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I'm talking to the God body. Having ears to hear, the others doesn't hear. Having eyes to see, they don't see. Even the eyes of their understanding has not been enlightened to comprehend the heights, depth, and width, and length, that they might be that great eternal Son of God, that great celestial one. And what's going to make us celestial? We're already celestial. But what about the chains? The chains, that little house, they're going to do a little remodeling job on that in a few days. Already employed somebody for the job. It's just a springtime house cleanup, that's all. Just a little while, that's all. Behold, ye shall not all sleep. All of the little houses won't go back to dust. Some of them's going to make a change. They're going to make a change. You love the Lord? You that are living in the little tabernacles, are you able to change it? Do you have the power to change it? Have you come far enough along to change it? Do you believe enough, as a man thinketh in his heart, So is he. Do you believe that God translated you in the marvelous kingdom of your God? Do you believe like Enoch? Enoch believed and was translated that he should not see death, even by faith. Can you have that kind of faith that was once delivered unto the saints like Enoch? Can you? By faith, he was translated. Paul said, we're translated. Somebody said, I'm waiting for that day, but the Bible said God hath already translated us into his marvelous kingdom. Did you use your faith like Enoch? I did. Was you translated like Enoch? I was. Say, but Brother Pike, I'm looking at you. I know it. You can't really get around that lying vanity, can you? Somebody said, but you're George Pike. But Paul said, it's not me living. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It's evident that you are a grave robber. And you're looking in the wrong direction. The Bible said, look up. Isn't that right? Look up. So then, not to know any man after the flesh. I see you tonight as my brother, as the members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And who are you? You are a quickening spirit, having passed from death unto life. And where is all of this, Brother Pike? I don't see it. No, because you're beholding lying vanities. But see, the Bible said, the eyes of understanding being enlightened. That's what he sees. That's what he thinks. That's what he understands. Then what should I do? Should I think as George Pike thinks? Should I see as George Pike sees? How can I do that if he's dead? I'm not looking through his windows anymore. Then how do I think? I certainly cannot think as a dead man because a dead man can't think. I think as a living, resurrected Christ. How do you think? Not leaning to my own understanding, I have the mind of Christ. Therefore, my thinking is in heaven. My testifying is in heaven. My living is in heaven. My rejoicing is in heaven. My seeing through the eyes of my understanding is in heaven. I say this again tonight. Am I going to let 22 conductive nerves that runs from my eye to my brain call God a lie? I might be dumb, but I'm not that bad off. God said it. That's the way it is. Yea and amen. I'm happy because I'm in heaven. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean being here at Bethlehem? You're in heaven? Is that what you're talking about? Well, if you're here at Bethlehem, you're in heaven. If you're children of God. When I go to Africa, I'm still in heaven. Jesus stood before Nicodemus and he said, I'm in heaven. Nicodemus wanted him to explain it, but he said it wouldn't do no good. You don't even understand earthly things. He said, I'm sure you couldn't understand his heavenly things. But he said, I'm in heaven. But Jesus, that couldn't be. I'm looking at you. No, see, what he saw was lying vanities. Somebody said, well, he was looking at God. The Bible said, no man has seen God at any time. Said, well, we saw the body of God and the shape of God. But they said, you've never seen his shape at any time. Well, you say, well, what did he see when he saw Jesus? Lying vanities. He said, well, what do you mean by that? Because the Bible said we're shapen in iniquity. And he come to bear the image of iniquity. And he was shapen in our image, the image of iniquity, and was made sin. Sitting his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So they didn't see God's shape. They saw the shape of iniquity. See, and he sees us as gods. Somebody would say, I can dispute that. I challenge you to do it. Somebody would say, just give enough time. Got eternity. If you need another Bible, I got another Bible. I challenge anybody throughout the world to try to dispute it. There ain't no way. It's absolutely the truth. And it's very God. There is not one scripture from Genesis to Revelation that will prove it wrong. But rather to the contrary, it will substantiate it all the way and prove it's absolutely the Word of the living God. What is it, the mind of Christ that has seized the human body? It's all a state of mind. And because that mind has seized it, that's the third heaven. And the third heaven has taken it over. Therefore, you're gods. You're God's.
Therefore, you've moved into the third heaven. The thing for us to do is to do what? Rejoice, ye that are in heaven. Welcome to heaven. But he said, what do you got to do to be up there? As a man thinketh, so he is. I think I'm in heaven. Where do you think you are? Somebody would say, well, I think you're crazy. So did they, Paul? But that didn't change the fact. He went right up to the third heaven anyway. All right, let's just sing this little chorus. I love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. I love him. I love him. All because he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing it one more time with him? I love him. I love him, all because he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation. On Calvary's tree. Praise God. Folks, I love you tonight. I've told you the truth. I said one time in a vision, as the people stood before me, I said, see those things in heaven? Oh, how beautiful they are. I said, look at the beautiful things in heaven. How gorgeous, how wonderful. All those lovely things in heaven. And in a vision, I stood in the heavens. And I stood and I was the Lord Jesus Christ with my hand stretched out. And I said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest unto your body. Are you then bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? Are ye then in Christ's stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto God? As the great one and only mediator, Jesus Christ, even between man and God, interceding, praying that God will grant mercy unto them that are without. Are ye his body tonight, mediating and interceding as members of his body? What a wonderful thing! There's but one mediator between God and man, even Jesus Christ himself, whose body ye are, members in particular. When you shut up your bowels of compassion, the days of the Gentiles are then over. That'll be the end, as long as you've got bowels of compassion toward the lost, and God will continue to save. But folks, the doors are closing. They're closing. While you've got your heads bowed, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to lay hands on Michael tonight and pray. While we're praying, let's all pray together. Quit putting distance between you and the Heavenly Father and between your blessings and you. Quit putting great distance between you and remember that God is within you, that he never leaves you at any time, he never forsakes you, that those shadows that fall across your path is all because of your intellectual frustration. And because your mind has allowed the mind of Lucifer to bring to your mind or your thinking line vanities. And it is interfering with the mind of Christ within you. And oh, hallelujah, I feel him right now. Because I feel you believe it. When I said that, somebody caught that.
When I said something about them shadows being lying vanity, somebody caught that. Their spirit went up to God. Their mind went out to God. The virtue still flowing from the body of Jesus Christ tonight. The healing virtue, the salvation of God. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Even the words that bring inspiration, which is the power and life of God, as you believe. Purifying your hearts with that inspiration, changing you to glory, faith to faith, inspiration to inspiration. The child is alive. You can feel him. If thou canst believe, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Why don't you let go? The song says let go and let God have his wonderful way. Folks, you're talking about deliverance. This is deliverance. This is true deliverance of body, soul, and spirit. This is what it's all about. We've just had him peeping at us through the veil and through the lattice. But oh my, he's taken the veil off now. When Rebecca went with Isaac, the veil was taken off. And he's taken the veil off. He's taken away the veil. And oh, hallelujah. So you can see eye to eye. Eyes of understanding. See him as he is. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful moment. What a wonderful, glorious moment. That great hour is here. That great moment is here. Oh, Ramandaramashida Bariandaramosandaramanaya. Hallelujah. The Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, Ramandaramandaramosandaramanaya. Oh, Alamandaliandaliasandalamosandaramanaya. Satan, the Lord, rebuke thee in Jesus' name. And Father, may the great Holy Spirit feel the heart of Michael right now as I feel the quickening. May it fill Michael. Oh God, with the glory and the wonderfulness of Christ tonight. May he be healed. May he be saved. May he be forgiven. May he be strengthened. And may Lucifer be cast out. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. May the great, wonderful, overwhelming power of God, the great spirit of life enter into these veins, into this heart, and purify this heart by faith and confidence in the Christ. May the prayers of his dad be answered. Lord of his heavenly Father, Lord, may that desire be answered. And may he find the relation, Father, Lord, with thee that you long to have with the Son, in answer to the prayers of his earthly father. Father, in Jesus' name, may the prayers of his mother be answered. Yea, and I say unto thee that I have walked with thee. Yea, and I have kept thee when thou didst enter into dark places. Yea, and the hand of God has been upon thee to watch over thee. Thou hast walked through the dark, dark places of night. Yea, and the hand of God has went out to thee to hold thee up. Else thou would have slipped into the pit. But for the love of thy heavenly Father, he hath kept thee along the pathway of life. Therefore rejoice and be thankful that thou hast opportunity to enter into life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, in your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift our hands up and love Jesus. Father, tonight as we rejoice knowing that we are in heaven, rejoicing tonight, Heavenly Father, knowing that thou art with us, and O mighty God of heaven, pure and holy one of righteousness that cleanses and purges and purifies, Lord, we thank thee tonight for the glory of God and the blessings of God. Thank thee tonight for the rejoicing of the saints. May the greatness of God and of his power and of his strength and into the heart of these children of God, Lord, as they walk with thee and rejoice, being children of the heavenly Father, being children in that city, being those, God, that you've chosen out of the world to hide them with thee in the greatness of God. Oh, hallelujah. May your Spirit be upon us. May they glorify your worthy name, Father. And may you have fellowship with the saints. And Father, may they be blessed of thee in a great and in a mighty way, that tonight they can rejoice and sing the wonderful songs of Zion. Oh, dear God of heaven, tonight may it be even so, that through thy word and through thy Spirit and through the greatness of thy power, that these people can be mightily anointed, mighty blessed. And Father, as you put the Spirit of Moses upon the people, so have you put the Spirit of Christ upon the people tonight. And they are of your Spirit, even as those people were of Moses. Father, so then tonight, may they prophesy in your name, and may they speak in your name, and may they shout and sing and dance in your name, and may they testify and witness in your name, Father, here and around the world, Father. May they go with the glory and blessings of God, knowing, Father, that they've made it into the kingdom of God by the wonderful spilt blood of the lovely Son of God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for your glory and for your wonderfulness. We thank you for your wonderful goodness, Father. Hallelujah. We praise you tonight for that wonderful moment. Oh, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Master. Hallelujah. We thank you for it tonight. Thank you for the glory of God. Lord, we thank you for it tonight. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father, because we made it into the wonderful kingdom of God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, wonderful God. Thank you, Master, for your blessings. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Can you love him tonight? Can you love him tonight? Can you love him? Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, in your name. Hallelujah. Uramando Ramashira Bariando Ramu Sando Ramanaya. Hula Basi Andali Alamo Shandali Andali Alabasaya. Hula Masandali Alamo Shitalamundali Alabosai. Hallelujah. Who is he that I will find faithful at my coming? Who is he that will feed the sheep of my pasture? Who is he that I shall make ruler over all of my goods? Is it not he that shall watch for my coming, yea, and be ready in the hour that ye think not? For then shall the Son of Man come. Isn't it he that shall watch for me, yea, he that will watch and pray? Yea, I shall make him ruler over all that I have. For he shall be my son, and I shall be his father. I shall be his God, and he shall go in and out before me. Yea, and all the days of his life shall be without end, for eternity shall be his inheritance. Yea, and riches and splendor and glory beyond the wildest imagination and beyond all understanding. For I have prepared for you that which eye hath not seen, and that which ear hath not heard. I have prepared for you that which hath never entered into the heart of mankind. Yea, I have prepared it for you. Yea, and I have revealed it unto you by my Spirit. And that's why you rejoice. For having eyes to see, you see, and having ears to hear, you hear. Yea, for the abundance of the Lord belongeth unto thee. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy,
that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know Jesus touched me.
Do you feel Jesus touching you tonight? Do you feel whole? Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me, and He made me whole. Praise God. You know, something happened tonight. Something took place tonight. Something happened. Some didn't see it, but oh, my brother, it happened. Like the song said, something happened, and now I know that He touched me and He made me whole. Can you sing it one more time? Did you actually feel Him tonight touch you? Did you? Do you believe something happened? Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. For something has happened, and now I know that He touched me, and He made me whole. Just one more time. Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know Jesus touched me, and He made me whole. Oh, hallelujah. Just think, folks. Just think. You're eternal, and you cannot die. You are eternal, and you cannot die, for you pass from death unto life. You're eternal, and you're going to be strong and healthy and young and rich, strengthened forevermore. I thought it was something that Brother Vince would be with us tonight. Brother Vince's sign is Virgo, the Virgin. And being here tonight at this time that we're talking about, it's a beautiful thing. I'm going to ask him to come up tonight if he will. And when we get ready to close the service tonight, I'm going to ask Vince to close the service for us. You know, it is so wonderful tonight. Is there anything in your heart that would make you question what I said tonight? What could make you question it? It couldn't be but one thing. That would be your carnal reasoning. And to be carnally minded is death. I will move out the heart of stone, place within you a heart of flesh, and write my laws upon the table of your heart. The love of God constrains me, Paul said, that I walk in the ways of Christ. Tonight, it is so beautiful what the Lord has done. We sang the song, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Is this really the day of the Lord? And John entered into the day of the Lord. You know what the day of the Lord was? The revelation of Jesus Christ. And John had entered into the rest of the Lord, the day of the Lord, to cease from his work, that he might dwell in heaven. Rejoice ye that dwell in the day of the Lord. For on the seventh day he rested from all of his work. It's the day of the Lord, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Vince if he'll come. Can you lead him in that song, "This is the day"? All right. Okay, Mike's son is also Virgo. I tell you, that is wonderful. This is a beautiful thing tonight. As Brother Vince comes and sings that song, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I want us to rejoice together tonight as Vince comes.